Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, the UK election results, what do they mean for Muslims?
The UK elections are over. The results have taken the country by storm.
The Prime Minister.
Thank you.
And as the Conservative Party and the Liberal Democrats cozy up together, ending a 13-year Labour rule, they must now begin the treacherous task of a coalition rule. While the country waits with bated breath to watch this new era of politics unfold, the Muslim community may take a moment to acknowledge the achievements of Muslim MPs. The number of Muslim MPs has doubled to 8 in the recent elections. Of them, the first 3 Muslim women to be elected to the House of Commons. Yasmin Qureshi, winning in the Bolton South East, Shabana Mahmood in Birmingham Ladywood, and Rushnara Ali in Bethnal Green and Bow. All 3 women represent the Labour camp. If the Muslim population were proportionately represented in Parliament, then there would be over 20 Muslim MPs. Nevertheless, times are changing and 8 is a start. So how has the number of Muslim MPs managed to double? Why are the Lib Dems unable to boast a Muslim MP victory? And how should the Muslim MPs, voters and visions of democracy move forward from here? The UK election results. What do they mean for Muslims? Islam and Life investigates.
So here are the results that we got, and the number of Muslim MPs has doubled after the last election. But still there are some questions, and some Muslims are looking at the situation with the new Conservative and Lib Dem coalition as something which is not so good for Muslims in the future, domestically speaking, but also when it comes to foreign policy. So should we be involved in politics, and how, with whom and in which way? These are critical questions. And how can we envisage the future as British citizens? This is very important for Britain, but it's also a very important question for all the Muslims living in the West or living in European countries, because Islam is the critical question of the times. We can see this in France, we can see this in Germany, in Switzerland, in Europe, and as well as in the United States of America or Canada. Well, to answer these questions, I am joined by Councillor Salma Yaqub, leader of the Respect Party. Thank you, Salma, for being with us. You are a high-profile politician in this country. You are known in Birmingham, but throughout the country, being involved in many political discussions, from the anti-war coalition till being much more constructive in the way that you are involved in daily politics in Birmingham and in the current discussion. So if a Muslim or a British Muslim is asking you, look, after this, you know, results and what happened in the country, why should we as Muslims being more involved in politics, and what is the meaning of having, you know, 8 Muslim MPs, as we call them in the country today?
Well, regardless of who won or who lost, in general, if you're asking me, well, do I think should Muslims be involved in the British democratic process? My answer would always be yes, of course. This is a mechanism by which you can have a voice, whatever issue that you feel passionately about. And whether we like it or not, our daily lives are run, are very much influenced by politicians. It's the schools that your kids go to, the roads that you live on, how much when it comes to your rubbish removal, any little issue from those, you know, doorstep issues right up to what our foreign policy is, how we impact on millions of people around the world, what our contribution to, for example, addressing climate change. So many international, national and local issues, and we as citizens living on this earth are impacted upon by all of this. So to deny ourselves that voice and that contribution, I think...
Okay, so what you are saying is that in principle we should be involved whatever are the results. Yeah. So now, in the way I was asking the question, because this is something which is, you know, when I'm talking to British citizens, but also with people around Europe and in the West, they are counting the Muslims who are elected, or the Muslim MPs, as we call them. And I have a problem with this, and I want you to respond to this, because the point is, it's not how many Muslims. You can have Muslims being involved in politics, but with a vision, with, you know,
exactly,
a way of being, dealing with, you know, domestic, local, or international affairs, you know, which is problematic. So whatever is the result with 8 Muslim MPs, what would be your take on this? How would you respond to people counting the Muslims who are, have been elected, and people saying, no, it's not about this. At the end of the day, it's about substance. It's about the substance of politics and vision.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. For me, it's almost a distraction, and it's quite a patronizing distraction to say, well, because we have these 8 Muslim MPs, that's the Muslim issues dealt with. Well, only if these people speak up, and you don't have to be a Muslim MP to speak up about issues which affect Muslims. In the same way, I'm a local councillor in Birmingham. I don't just stand up for Muslim residents. I represent all the residents in my ward, and that is very, very important to me. And it's really about, I think, putting people in a box, almost, to say that, you know, you are only this part of your identity, and somehow that is all your politics, and that's what it's all about. And I certainly don't think those 8 MPs who were elected see themselves necessarily in that way, but often it's used as a tick box on the diversity. Oh, look, you know, we've given safe seats to people from a Muslim background. And often, I'm not going to, you know, say these MPs necessarily, but often what we see are people who are given those platforms who actually then use it not to advocate for some principle, but almost to be used to promote a party line which may not actually be popular or something in the interests of those local people. And so I would wait and see.
Yes, that's interesting, but it's also paradoxical. If we look at and we listen to what you are saying, but also the way you were campaigning for years in this country, is very often just before the elections, we see the Muslim MPs or the people who are presenting themselves as MPs are representative of Muslims, coming to the Muslim communities and hoping that they will get the voices from Muslims because they are Muslims themselves, anew or are identified. For example, something which I heard at the grassroots level, people saying, oh, she may be not elected or not being elected because she looks like a Muslim woman with the headscarf. You are coming with a discourse which is completely different. It's universalist, it's open to all the issues. So Muslims who appear not to be, you know, Muslims are not visible in that sense, are coming with something which is very focused on, oh, Muslims, you have to help me, and you are coming with a completely different discourse.
Well, my discourse is Muslims, we've all got to contribute together, and let's not be tribalistic. Are there issues which affect the Muslim community? Yes. We cannot be naive and say Islamophobia doesn't exist, and this is something too many people are quiet about. And in fact, it's almost this pressure when you're a minority person to not talk about those issues. It's almost saying, well, look how well I'm fitting in because I'm not raising these awkward questions, because you don't want to fulfill a certain stereotype. But I think that the times that we're living in demand from us to stand up in those issues. At the same time, there are issues which are colourblind. You know, like I mentioned, when it comes to equality, we're living in a time of economic recession. This will impact, yes, on Muslims because they happen to be part of the lower socioeconomic layer in this country. But then so are lots of people who are not Muslim. Who is championing them at the moment? The whole discourse has been we have to have cuts in public spending, as if this whole deficit was because we overspent on public services. This is a completely wrong.
Yes, and this is what we heard this
analysis
week here in this country.